This episode is brought to you by the all-natural Sydney-made face spray by Mr. Mist. Stay tuned for a very special promo code coming up throughout the show.
Do you wish healthy didn't have to be hard? What if there was another way? Well, there is. And it's the Jade Walkaway, where healthy is delicious, easy and exciting, and doesn't have to mean saying no to chocolate and red wine.
Welcome back to the Jade Walkaway. You're here with your... Welcome back to the Jade Walker, where you're here with your qualified naturopath, Jade Walker. And today I've got the very lovely qualified and clinical nutritionist, Jules, on the show. I actually studied with this beautiful girl and she was one of my first friends. We did psychology together, remember? And I'll never forget actually feeling like, oh my gosh, I've finally met some friends that I have, like, I resonate with.
I know.
And then we kind of parted ways for a while. So Jules is, is a qualified and clinical nutritionist. She also has a degree in environmental science. And if that wasn't enough, she's also a trainer and a rep for LifeSpace Probiotics. So Jules has a big focus in gut health, particularly that gut-brain axis and how it affects conditions such as anxiety and that kind of thing. Welcome to the show, Jules.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. This is exciting.
Welcome. Yeah, it is. We've got so much we're going to talk about today. We're going to unpack the topic of social media influence and how that can negatively impact people. But first off, I always ask everyone that comes on the show the same question, because I'm all about teaching people that we are all human and we love balance. So what would be your favorite health food and what would be your favorite indulgence?
So it would have to be, I love salmon. Mm-hmm. So I love dukkha on salmon.
Two of my favorite things.
Exactly. With probably sweet potato, just a sweet potato salad. That is my go-to staple.
I'm sorry to jump in, but this is really funny because when you came, I was eating some salmon and I actually got a sweet potato and was going to make us sweet potato chips.
You read my mind.
That's hilarious. And I haven't even offered you any because we just jumped straight in anyway.
No.
And what's your favorite indulgence?
Oh, well, I love wood-fired pizza. That has to be my favorite. But also, I'm a sucker for peppermint choc tops.
Ooh, that's different.
Yeah.
Peppermint choc tops.
Well, because we don't really go to the movies that often. And it just reminds me of being a kid again. And I love chocolate and peppermint.
Yum.
That is my go-to dessert. Mm. Whatever it is, it has to be peppermint and chocolate.
I must say, I do love peppermint and chocolate.
Yeah.
I love that. You and I must be.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so Jules, before we jump into today's topic, yes. I'd love to know a little bit more about you and why did you become a nutritionist, particularly coming off the back of being an environmental scientist?
Yeah.
I mean, did they connect in some way?
Well, I guess when I was in high school, I had a big passion for geography and health, and I couldn't decide on which one, and so I went, stuff it, I'll just go do my science degree. Really enjoyed geography and then became really passionate about geology, but I couldn't see myself working in the mines. And at that stage, that was what everyone was kind of leaning towards. And then I literally went on a backpacking trip with one of my best friends. And I remember it to this day. I was in the UK and we were in the center of town and I turned to her and I'm like, why am I doing geography? I should be a nutritionist. She's like, well, yeah, that's like, you love health. And at that point, because I had already done a degree, I hadn't actually heard of Endeavor before. And I didn't really like the programs other universities offered. It wasn't as hands-on. And I loved the fact that Endeavor obviously had a clinic component. And I loved that it was a smaller school, because I previously went to Monash, which had 1,000 people per class.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, as you know, in our classes, it was like 15 people.
If you're lucky.
Which was amazing because you could actually voice your opinion, actually have a conversation with your lecturer, and it was a lot more interactive. And so, yeah, obviously met you there.
Mm-hmm.
And then during my studies, I started working for LifeSpace. So I was an assistant to the CEO and just did errands for him basically. But I always had a passion Well, I learned that I had a passion for educating. And when I saw different reps on the road and I'd go out with them and see them training different pharmacists and healthcare practitioners on gut health, I was like, yep, this is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. So then gradually I graduated and then became a trainer. But then while I was working, I realized that I wanted to actually put this into practice and start practicing.
Mm-hmm.
So I started, my own clinic outside of a gorgeous gym called Holistic Sister in the Western Suburbs. And yeah, I love it. So I love having the balance of both, because I'm so passionate about gut health. I've learned so much through my job and I'm able to feed that in and also feed in what I've learned in clinic when I'm training practitioners as well. So it goes really well together.
And what was it that actually drew you to nutrition?
Well, I actually personally had quite a battle and poor relationship with food myself while in school. So I guess I used to see both food and exercise in terms of weight loss and being driven by body image rather than how I felt mentally and energetically as well. And I became really obsessive with it and it became quite negative. But over time, as I started to teach myself about the importance of food and how good it could make me feel, and when I saw my energy levels improving and just started being more relaxed with the basics of food, I realized how powerful it can actually be to someone's health. And I was like, well, if I can help myself, I would really love to educate others. And I guess the reason I went into nutrition, and I would love to gradually go into naturopathy as well, as opposed to dietetics, is because I see it more as a holistic picture. Mm. I was never really comfortable with looking at just numbers and calculations. And I'm not saying in any way, like, I know quite a few dietitians and I think they're incredible, but personally, that wasn't the path I wanted to go down to. And because I love gut health and I know how many elements are connected to that, I wanted to go down more of a holistic path.
So now, with on the topic that we're going to be discussing today, what made you feel like you wanted to voice your opinion on the topic of today, on social media influence and how that's negatively impacting?
Well, yeah, just because I know as a young teenager, when I was a young teacher, it was so easy to be influenced. And when we were in school, we fortunately didn't have that added pressure from that platform. Like, we're nowadays constantly exposed to Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever it may be. And I feel like there's a lot more platforms for influencers and bloggers. Like, back in the day, they didn't really exist. And now, because of, I guess, having so many followers now and having a platform to reach so many people, and now health becoming this trend, which I'm finding really frustrating, where I'm trying to educate clients that health shouldn't be a trend. It should be actually, I guess, ingrained in terms of, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but
I know exactly what you're saying.
It shouldn't just be, oh, today I'm going to follow this diet so I can look a certain way. No, it should be something you feel internally, physically, make you feel good inside more than anything, and help treat different conditions as well, which is really important.
That's so true. And it's something that we say too often, that it shouldn't be a diet, it should be a lifestyle.
Yes.
And yes, we have these temporary interventions to help people get on track and better, but like you said, it shouldn't be a trend.
No.
That's such a good way to put it.
Yeah.
And even, you know, I think social media is also now giving even bigger platforms to people that used to hide in the background with their little books on the shelves in Dimmicks or whatever. Like, now, for example, with Medical Medium, like, you know, the Medical Medium, and the whole celery juicing thing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Curing everything under the sun.
To be honest, like, if there's probably been one of my biggest frustrations with anything lately, it's been celery juice. So the topic today, I feel like a lot of people are going to resonate with, and this is something that Jules and I both feel very passionate about, and that is the dangerous and toxic world of social media and how that can negatively impact the viewers' mental health and also be influenced and kind of sucked into products where there isn't really that educated background, would you say?
Yeah, definitely. I think the reason I'm really passionate about this particular topic, what we're both passionate about, is that obviously we studied 3 to 4 full-time years becoming qualified and registered health practitioners. And I just don't think it's appropriate. It's quite dangerous for people who are in the industry of, you know, modeling, bloggers, even personal trainers who've had minimal training in nutrition or naturopathy, giving out advice, health advice. It's dangerous and it can be really detrimental to people's health. And they just put unrealistic expectations on people, really.
And one thing that I've seen, I can't remember what it's called, but there seems to be this online course that a lot of influencers do, and they think that it gives them the right to almost call themselves a nutritionist.
Is it a health coach?
Well, yes, that's one, definitely. Like, that's one that I see a lot of. And, like, don't get me wrong, I'm sure there are some health coaches out there that have good intentions and they know where they're that scope lies, and they're clearly passionate about health and they want to help people. Yeah. But yeah, they cross the line and they give off the impression that they're a nutritionist. And so naturally people feel like, you know, they don't know the difference, what to look for. So, you know, with yourself being a nutritionist, tell us what the difference is between a health coach and a nutritionist.
So first of all, obviously we, as nutritionists or naturopaths, we complete a 3 to 4 year bachelor degree. That is one of the biggest differences. So we do have a bigger and deeper understanding into the whole body. So holistically speaking as well. And I think what's really important is that we really look at the individual in terms of, you know, their past medical, present medical history, their pathology, looking into their body systems, their stress level, sleep. There's so much to someone's health, and just someone on social media giving general advice is not enough, and it can be, again, really, really dangerous. So I think the biggest thing with us as practitioners, we look at the person on an individual basis, and we try and make it a realistic and sustainable treatment for them. So, and that's that's the biggest problem I see with these influencers promoting different programs and products. Like, if they worked, there wouldn't be so many out there. Like, that's my biggest thing with diets, essentially. If they did work, there wouldn't be that many out there, and people wouldn't be relapsing, people wouldn't be binging and then feeling shit about themselves. So that's my frustration.
And there's so many things that you just mentioned there that come into play. I mean, even just us being able to read people's blood tests and be able to integrate that into the treatment plan. That's such an important thing. And even our understanding on everything from, like, someone's physiology, knowing about the way the body works and how everything connects. Yeah. And even just, you know, when I was at the doctor today and I had some blocked ears and, you know, she starts talking about the eustachian tubes and things like, you need to know all those kind of things to be able to make that connection with everything. And once again, you know, certainly maybe there's a place for health coaches if it is just them supporting someone to maybe get the headspace that they need to reach their goals, but that's as far as that goes.
Yeah.
And to be honest, that's what you and I do anyway, so you can get all of that plus everything else you need, right? So what would be some examples of things that you've seen lately on, say, Instagram that have concerned you?
Well, you've actually brought this up and I thought it was amazing. There is, look, the keto diet and low carb diet, I've been seeing it for years, but predominantly in the PT world, I'd say a lot of people are promoting this diet. And what concerns me about it is that it's severely restrictive. And the only research I have seen with a keto diet being successful long term is in epileptic children. But also people who do, I guess, want to go down the path of a keto diet, again, it's very restricted. Usually you need to be monitored for a very long period of time with someone, but also you're missing out on so many critical nutrients. And that's my biggest thing. And obviously focusing on gut health, a lot of my clients, because they fear carbohydrates, because there's so much fear mongering around carbohydrates, which is such a important macronutrient. And that also includes fiber, obviously. And that's why people aren't getting enough fiber these days and having so many gut issues. That's what I personally have seen a lot in my clinic. So I think one of the biggest things I'm concerned about is the amount of products now promoting keto diets as well. So things like different spreads, protein bars, you name it. And look, I'm not saying I'm completely against it's a tricky topic, but I feel the people promoting it are doing it for the wrong reason. And it becomes really detrimental because people see it as, I'm going to restrict this. I'm doing it because I want to look a certain way. And 99% of the time when someone has a six pack, they're 6 foot seven, that's bloody genetics. It's got nothing to do with what they're eating. So that's where we come in. We want to educate people on the importance of, you know, nourishing ourselves internally more than anything. That's what's really important, physically and mentally as well.
And with the keto diet, with the point about the gut health, that's the biggest reservation I have about the keto diet. And don't get me wrong, keto does have its place. It's definitely more tailored towards men. It's not good for women, from what I've seen, for several reasons, such as the fact that we need carbohydrates to produce hormones, to have a cycle, for fertility and so on. But that point you raised about, you know, fiber, that's the biggest one, because the reason why everyone is loving keto at the moment, because they're like, sweet, I've got a one-way ticket to eat as much cheese and cream and fats as I want.
Exactly.
And yes, we want people to eat healthy fats, but they are actually consuming this ridiculously unnatural amount of fat, and therefore they are completely discarding their good, like you said, carbohydrates from fruits and vegetables. And what do we know they're good for? Prebiotic fibers, which is clearly why you're saying that, you know, so important for health. So before we just move on, can you just dive into why these demonized carbs, such as, you know, your fruits and vegetables, are actually so important for gut health?
Absolutely. So there is a lot of research now showing that our beneficial good bacteria thrive on diversity. So studies have shown that in order to have a diverse gut, you need to be consuming at least 30 different plant foods a week. That sounds really overwhelming, but when you think about, you know, nuts, seeds, legumes, leafy greens, fruit, as you mentioned, it can be really easy to add them up basically in a couple of meals a day. And basically they feed our bacteria, essentially acting as prebiotics, like you mentioned before, and they produce these chemicals called short-chain fatty acids. And basically they assist with creating more new bacteria. They also help support the integrity of the gut lining. And most importantly, they actually help reduce the risk of colon cancer. Fiber has shown to do, obviously, and prebiotics has that role as well, but also helping to regulate the bowels as well is quite important. And as we know, the gut is our second brain. So by having our diverse gut, that can support our mood. There is a lot of research going into that at the moment, which is really exciting, but also our immune system. So more than 80% of our immune cells are found in our gut. So, you know, that in itself shows you how important it is to have diversity. And as much as probiotics is important, obviously through fermented foods, a lot of people forget that you can get prebiotics in basically foods that you have in your fridge. You don't have to get special supplements to be getting your prebiotics. Just your gut basically loves our diversity. Mm. That's what's really important.
That honestly, I feel like we should be doing two podcasts now. We've already opened up such a good topic. And particularly with probiotics, you know, a lot of people, they, because of, I guess, clever marketing and stuff like that, they have this, like, they feel like, oh my gosh, which probiotics should I be taking right about? And yes, probiotics are really good. They have so much place in our therapeutic treatment plans. However, first and foremost, prebiotics from your food. Like,
absolutely.
If you cover that, you're sorted. All right. So going back to the topic, obviously, that is, and by the way, I've got my dog Millie here just constantly tapping me, wanting attention while I'm trying to do this podcast, but that's what it's like in my lounge room, basically. So going back to this social media environment when it comes to influencers, one of those that, well, there's a couple of key suspects, but one as of recent, for those of you who watched The Bachelor this year, there was a contestant who basically, the moment she was eliminated, she brought out this, she announced this business called Weight Loss Trilogy.
Yes.
To be honest, that name in itself rings alarm bells already for me. And the thing, though, that people felt was credible about it was the fact that her mum is a GP and apparently she's got a lot of experience in weight loss. So everyone was like, okay, maybe this is actually going to be a good, credible program. But straight off the bat, one of the first posts that she started talking about was that you need to starve yourself between meals and that you just need to ride the wave of starvation.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And so naturally everyone, there was a massive uproar. They actually took down the whole business pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And, you know, how do you feel about that, Jules?
I'm speechless. Look, it's, I hate to say it, but I'm not surprised.
Mm.
This is what I mean. Like, people feel they've got, they have authority and they're allowed to do that just because they have a name in the business. Mm. But to the point of starvation, I just can't really comprehend what she was trying to achieve with the program. Like, obviously, my biggest issue with that is you've got young, impressionable girls looking at these pages, especially like something like The Bachelorette. You've got young girls watching the show. Mm. And a lot of the time, you know, they've got the pressure to look a certain way. Body image is a huge issue at the moment. Mm. Fortunately for us, when we were at school, it wasn't as big of an issue. And it can be dangerous because they go, oh, I want to look like her. I'm going to follow this plan. And then what happens?
Mm-hmm.
You know, energy levels, deficiencies, so many issues with this, more severe mental health issues. And I don't think they think of the repercussions, these people.
Mm. And it's clear, the main difference there is when you don't have an education in, say, a health science degree, you actually don't know what you don't know. And so therefore when they're prescribing these different meal plans, diets, what have you, they actually don't know what is missing. They don't know that this needs to be meeting, you know, 18 milligrams of iron per day and so on.
Yeah.
And so many people don't even know how to look at someone's daily intake and straight off the bat know, okay, you don't have enough calcium there. You need to be getting more protein here. You don't have a complete amino acid profile and so on.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think every kind of lifestyle can be done right. Vegan can be done right. Paleo can be done right. Mediterranean, so on. But if you don't have that proper support, then you're probably going to fail. You're probably going to end up being really deficient and fatigued and hormonal and all
exactly.
sorts.
Exactly.
Mm.
Yeah.
So there was another huge influencer that you feel quite passionate about. Look, I'm happy to name names. I don't know if you want to, but I'll leave that in your court. But tell me about this one particular one that is very well known, upwards of almost a million followers on Instagram.
Up in Queensland. Yeah. Yes. Well, she's quite a renowned personal trainer.
Mm-hmm.
She brought out her own clean eating program. I think it was 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I had a look at it and I actually had a look at it before I was studying.
Mm.
And there were things, obviously she was very restrictive in terms of with her plans. She wanted her clients to eat minimal carbohydrates, fruit was out of the question due to the sugar content. You can't see my quotation marks right now. And she was making millions of dollars, and she actually got into a lot of trouble because she, I'm pretty sure she mentioned that she had all these qualifications in nutrition.
Oh, really?
And it came out, of course, she did, I think, a short course in nutrition or some health coaching program. And of course she got a lot of backlash for it. But I've had a look at her page, and she's still providing this advice. And it just really, really frustrates me. Like, I just keep saying the same thing. But I think one of the good things to come out of this, and you mentioned it before, is that there are stricter regulations now on social media, especially especially Instagram, where influencers can't make miraculous claims about foods,
weight loss,
health trains, health traits, and weight loss especially.
Yeah, definitely. And going back to, you know, that influencer, and to be honest, I think this is the problem where people's followers and engagement isn't a reflection on their qualifications. It's a reflection on how good their marketing team is. And unfortunately, we all do, well, when I say we, you know, the general population associates the amount of followers with their credibility. And when you look at, there are, you know, for example, there's Sarah's Day. Have you heard of Sarah's Day? And look, she seems like a really cool chick. And like, she's, to be honest, I think out of everyone, she actually, for someone who doesn't have a qualification in nutrition, she's actually not too bad. I think she's fairly careful, but she's got a million followers.
Yeah.
She doesn't have a degree. You know, you and I have, you know, 1,000 to 3,000 followers, and we actually have, like, you know, $70,000 debt in fee help or whatever. And, you know, and so that's what I mean. Yeah. It's just, it's not a reflection. And sure, like, people should be able to make money off being good at what they do. 100%. I think if you can become a millionaire off being really good at helping people, fuck yeah, do that. However, do it with integrity and make sure that you're looking out for the person who you're giving that advice to, and make sure you really fucking know what you're talking about, right?
And if you've got such a powerful position on such platforms, be a role model. Be an actual role model. If you want to give advice, look, everyone will want to give general advice, and I don't know about you, I feel like everyone is an expert at the moment with nutrition, giving health tips. And if you want, like you said with Sarah Day, like, to a degree, if you want to do it in a positive manner and talk about your experience with food and health, that's fine. But don't put it on that individual. Don't pressure someone to follow a certain way if they're not comfortable with it and they're so confused because there's so much conflicting information out there. And that's where it gets really confusing about someone who doesn't know very much about nutrition or health or the basics and really just wants a really just wants to be guided in an easy way, somehow that they're comfortable. But it can get really difficult and overwhelming when these people are making these claims and they're not doing it for the right reason.
Absolutely. And I think it is all about people just, I mean, again, I don't, like, I just want to reiterate, I'm off of the topic of Sarah's Day now because I actually think she's, you know, fairly good, but just moving on from there so that people don't think I'm associating with her when I say this. But I think a lot of people are in it to make a quick dollar because they truly see that there is a lot of money to be made, particularly on Instagram when it comes to being an influencer. People are getting paid a couple of grand a post. Like, I know I've got a friend who has a fashion label, and when she first started, the one of the ways that she really got her name out there was by finding really good influencers, and they would be a couple of grand for a few posts.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. I mean, you know, in fashion, you're not having a negative impact. So, you know, but when it comes to health, then that's a different ball game. One of the topics that really fits into this is multi-level marketing. Have you been reached out to by any multi-level marketing companies?
Unfortunately, no. Not yet.
No, it's not unfortunate. It's unfortunate. So, you know,
But no, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. So I think because, you know, I'm fairly active on social media, I think the more active you are, the more targeted you get by these companies.
Yeah, of course.
And so at one point on a weekly basis, I was getting these people reach out to me and it was always the same message. It was like, hey, Jade, I noticed that you're passionate about nutrition like me and I think that we could really collaborate. I have this really awesome product that I think you would be interested in and maybe like to show your followers. And, I mean, that rings alarm bells me straight away because clearly people don't have any idea about the fact that as qualified practitioners, we only generally use practitioner-grade products.
Exactly.
Because they are tested, they have a certain dosage, we need to know how to use them for blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so first of all, I always reply just to be nice and say, okay, yep, you know, what have you got? and then sure enough, it's multi-level marketing. It might be Herbalife, Juice Plus, Isagenics, and so on. To me, fits in this same category where they are giving out this unsolicited advice to all these vulnerable people and they're completely replacing their health, their treatment plan with these products.
It just reminds me of, do you remember the trend of the hair gummies?
Yeah.
That's what came in. And everyone was getting obsessed with it. And I had a look at this product and it was like, I think the second ingredient was like, glucose syrup or something, I don't know, something ridiculous.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you said, people get endorse it and because you're a celebrity and you have millions of followers, people go, yep, I want to take that, don't care what it's for, but if I can look like that, it must be good. It's wasting a lot of people's money more than
absolutely. So what are some other concerns that you've seen on social media as of late?
Oh, hey, sorry to interrupt, but remember how I promise you that special promo code? Well, this episode is brought to you by the All Natural Sydney Made Face Spray by Mr. Miss. There are a lot of face sprays out there these days claiming to be all that, but do they really stand up to all the hype? Well, personally, I can promise you that this one does. I've been trialing the Type 12 Rejuvenating Face Spray the past 4 weeks, and all I can say, where the hell have Face Mist been all my life? You know those days when you just feel, bleh, it's Wednesday, it's 10 a.m, you're already checking the clock? What I've actually found is this face mist is literally the secret weapon to picking you right back up again and buying you precious productivity. But it's not even these magical benefits that is the reason why it's so good. It's 100% natural ingredients are literally food for the skin. Mr. Mist Type 12 Blend includes delicious ingredients such as peppermint tea, licorice root, witch hazel, olive leaf, aloe vera, bio-fermented hemp, and rosemary. And as a naturopath, I can back that these herbs use topically help as a hydrating toner, they are anti-inflammatory and they support circulation. It's no wonder their mission statement is literally to make you feel fresh as fuck any time of the day or night. Want to get your hands on it? This face loving blend is usually $24.99 with free shipping. But even better, the Mr. Mist crew is offering all Jade Walkaway listeners 20% off using this code WALKER at the checkout, making it just $19.99. To get yours, head to mrmiss.online.
I think it's actually gotten a lot better because of the regulations, which is really good. I guess one of the things I've seen, a couple of bloggers I'm thinking of at the moment have brought out their own, I guess, clean eating program and bring out a couple of products. So obviously having so many followers, they're able to engage a lot of people and predominantly a younger audience. And where I find that is quite challenging, and I think one of the areas we need to focus more on is the fact that a lot of young people in high school, because of due to expectations and I guess body image, they have this certain expectation, obviously, and I've said this before, but this is my biggest concern, is to look a certain way. And this is where eating disorders become a lot more apparent, you know, anxiety. I've seen it with my clients. I've actually had to go through their Instagram with them and actually delete people that aren't serving them any good.
Wow, that's incredible.
And it's a detox. It's literally like doing a detox.
So what kind of... You know, for some of these clients, have you gone through their feed and noticed there's a predominance in these influencers, like And how do they appear? What kind of photos are they posting?
Well, usually in bikinis, like nothing to do with health, but they will write a huge chunk about how good they feel, and it's them, you know, running on the beach or nothing to do with health. And it actually, I ask them, like, how do you feel when you look at this? And they're like, it makes me feel like crap, but I can't stop looking at it because obviously it can become addiction. It's habitual. You start scrolling through and you want to look a certain way, and it's just this vicious cycle. So it's toxic. Mm-hmm. It can be really toxic. And I think some people have a really good way of, I guess, looking at it and not taking too much notice and be like, all right, they're doing well for themselves, good on them. But other people who are desperate to find answers in their own health journey, they will look at anything and feed off anything to get off answers. And that's where it gets really, really dangerous. And that's what I'm not comfortable with people, especially having people come up to me, even friends, and be like, oh, I saw so-and-so post this. What do you think? Do you think it's a good diet? I'm like, well, hang on a minute. Why, why are you seeking, like, my approval of that when, like, this person, like we've mentioned this before, has no qualification. They basically are in a completely different industry, but yet they have that influence on people. And I think that's what baffles me to this day, that there's not enough. I think although there's regulations on products and claims, I think there's a lot of still loopholes that people go through. And I think we still have a long way to go in terms of how we promote health.
Really. And another one that I want to just quickly go back to is when you mentioned the addiction of it, and there are studies on the addiction of social media and phone usage and the way that it produces dopamine in the same way as the dopamine hit from drugs or sugar and so on. And you know it. If you tell yourself today, I'm not going to look at my phone, and you put it in the bedroom, all your mind's doing is trying to get you to go into that bedroom and check your social media. Yeah. If that's the case for you, that is a clear sign that you've got a problem. And I can put my hand up and say, I probably have that problem, but more so in a, like, not in a negative influence, but more so because I'm always like, oh, you know, is someone trying to reach out to me to ask me a question about my business? And, you know, I've always got that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. But you need to set those boundaries. So with high school students in particular, I think that's the one that really worries me a lot. And also because personally, I had a lot of issues in high school myself, and I certainly had a lot of insecurities, and it's taken me a long time to really work on those insecurities, and that really did come from the pressure of the way that other people looked around me or certain things people would say. And now we have this whole different type of environment that includes the social media influence. And like you said, you know, you go through these people's phones and realize all these people that they're being influenced by. And if I go back to when I first went vegan, again, not vegan now, but I kind of went down that path a little bit of orthorexia, and because I started losing weight, I was looking in at my body every day thinking, yes, I've lost my weight. But it was still never enough, and I was really slim. And look, everyone's got different body shapes, not saying that slim is bad or overweight is bad or anything, you know, it just is so totally dependent on the individual. However, you know, I was getting to the point where it was orthorexic, and I was looking in the mirror and I would like hold my hands on my hips to see what it would look like if I was a little bit slimmer on the hips. And yet I was still the slimmest I had ever been. And that was because I was surrounded by all these influencers on Instagram that were in bikinis all the time, that had these perfect bodies. And if you scroll back onto my old Instagram page, you will actually see that I used to post photos like that.
Yeah.
And this is another thing I wanted to bring up is obviously, and I think more people are aware of this now, are the different angles that people are posting to make themselves look slimmer. And I was doing that. I would like post photos of myself in my underwear or my bikinis and standing on the side and make it look like, you know, I had this real slender body, and I mean, I'd already had a good body, but I was trying to make it look even more in,
'cause it wasn't enough.
It wasn't enough. Yeah. And I was never happy and content. And I, you know, I worked out a lot. I was really addicted to the gym at that time, and I still had like this tiny bit of cellulite that pretty much was probably non-existent, but in my mind it was still not enough, and I fucking hated it, and I didn't want people to see that part of my legs, and so on. Now I am 10 kilos more than what I was then, and I'm much more happier in my body now because I've accepted my body as it is. Yeah,
absolutely. And I feel that resonates with me a lot as well, because that's the reason I got into nutrition, is because I suffered with an eating disorder in high school. So I restricted myself to the point where I was extremely underweight. And I think for a lot of people, because they feel like a lot of things in their lives is out of their control, weight is one of those things you can actually have control over. So what you put in your body, and when you're actually seeing results, like you mentioned, you're like, yes, I'm getting somewhere, I'm doing this for me, but it becomes an addiction and it's not enough. Mm-hmm. And that's again where it gets really concerning. And that's where we come in and trying to teach people. And like you said, like, you're feeling the best you ever have because you're comfortable with yourself. You're not obsessive over why am I eating this? You're eating because, I would assume, because you enjoy the food. Mm-hmm. It's all about balance. And we really want to teach people that it doesn't have to be stressful. Mm. It's actually really basic. And again, there's no one size fits all. I say that a lot because a lot of people who I come across in clinics say, oh, I've heard this diet, should I be doing it? And it's like, it really depends on the individual, in the state of mind you are in as well. If you're ready to take that next step, you know, it can take months. It took me literally 8 years to get to the point where I am with food myself and to be comfortable. And yes, I still love exercising a lot and eating well, but to the point where I don't stress anymore. I eat to fuel myself and know that it's nourishing myself, but it does take time. And I think that's the biggest thing. People want a quick fix. They look at something like, yep, I want to do that. And then they binge, they relapse, but people need to understand it is a journey. It is a commitment. It's a long life commitment, your health, and it's an important commitment. And I think as practitioners, that is our biggest thing. We want to educate people that everyone is in a different place. And you can all get to that point where you're obviously comfortable in yourselves. And that's what we want to do. And because you and I especially have been in that position before, where we were comparing ourselves and we did have, you know, body image issues, it's more important to us than ever to be able to educate others. And that's where I think another of my passions lie, is educating younger girls, because I think there's lack of resources in schools as well. I remember when I did health in VCE, it was basically what's a vitamin, what's a mineral, nothing to do with actual, okay, how does body image come to this? How do you, you know, not just counting calories or weight, like there's so much to it. And I feel like in schools especially, and now that social media is so prominent, this is an area that we should be focusing a lot more on as well.
And I think there's also a bit of a fine line between being healthy, exercising, and then diving into orthorexia and over exercising. And
yeah,
I think also, you know, lately, and this is great, there's a huge push in body positivity,
yeah,
and accepting your body
and you know, intuitive eating,
yeah, and that kind of thing. However, we also can't ignore that there is an obesity problem.
Exactly.
And you know, central adiposity is highly linked with cardiovascular disease and heart disease and stuff. So it's like, where do you draw the line? Because we really don't want to be helping, you know, if we want to help someone to lose weight because that fat is toxic and that can cause disease. But we don't want to be saying to you, you need to lose weight so that you have perfect aesthetics. That's not what we're doing. We are supporting people's health so that they can live longer, healthier, more energetic lives. And I think so sometimes that line gets really blurred. And as soon as you start talking to someone about weight loss, they think that you've gone into that realm of wanting to look a certain way. And exactly. And sure, like feeling good in your body is still really good for your mental health, right? Like when you work out and you feel toned and you feel healthy, that's so good for your mental health. But at the same time, you know, there are so many variables as to why, you know, you might be really busy, you might be a mother, you might have had children. And actually, that's another point I want to bring up is the mummy influencers.
Mummy bloggers.
Yeah, mum influencers. And again, like, you know, I do follow a lot of them and I think it's really interesting following their lives. But the one thing that I've noticed that's very prevalent is this whole goal to get back to pre-baby body. Yeah. And there's so much pressure on it. Have you seen that?
I actually saw a post yesterday of a British influencer. She had her baby 3 weeks ago and she, no joke, was tiny, flat chest. And she goes, like her caption was like, I'm back and I feel so good about it. Mm-hmm. And all I could think of is your poor body. Mm-hmm. Like it has, in that period, you haven't even given yourself time to heal. Like, people don't actually understand the physiology behind having a baby. Like, you need to give yourself time to heal. And also, there shouldn't be this pressure to bounce back away. No. And I find that really difficult to understand. And I guess because some of these people maybe, I guess, in the industry where they need to look a certain way quickly, but that is sending the wrong message. And that's my point. If that works for you, fine. But you need to understand the repercussions of then posting that to the outside world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, let's unpack that a little bit more, because obviously genetics come into play. Some women naturally bounce back really quickly.
And depending at what age you're having children as well. Yeah. That's a big one.
And unfortunately, some people who are a little bit genetically more prone to being able to bounce back, they actually use that to their advantage on social media and make it seem like they've got this secret that helped them flush all this weight, blah, blah, blah. And then there are some women then who are more genetically prone to maybe not being able to lose that weight. And then they feel that pressure that why aren't they like them?
Yeah.
What also really grinds my gears, I don't mind, like, if someone bounces back really quickly, awesome, well done. However, what I don't like is when they post, like, they're actually still looking really good post-baby after, you know, 3 weeks postpartum or whatever, but they're posting, they're like, still got a long way to go. And they actually look really good. And again, that's toxic for the people following, because they're like, oh, fuck, oh, she better not see me then when I was 4 weeks postpartum. Oh, gosh, you know, I had all these stretch marks and extra skin and rah, rah, rah. Or, like, I saw another one. There's Hannah Pilates.
Do you know her? Yeah, yeah.
And she's had a couple of kids. And like, I saw this video she posted of her little girl, like, poking her her belly after her second baby.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, there's lots of extra skin, which is so natural. And she's like, oh, don't you hate it when they, like, show to you, point out your excess skin, rah, rah, rah. And again, she looks so beautiful. Like, she's actually,
she needs that gratification.
Yeah. Like, it's kind of like you're putting it out there for people to say to you, oh no, you look amazing. Exactly. Oh, I wish I looked that way. Like, I hate that. That's
no. And I've, who was it? You know, the nude nutritionist, Lindy Cohen.
Yes.
Yeah. I love her. Yeah. She put up a really powerful post months ago about the fact that if you're a blogger and you have your own, I guess, body image issues, don't feed that back to the public.
Yes, yes.
That was, and that's really powerful. And it's true. Like, I understand there are lots of pressure for these certain people to look a certain way, but you've chosen to be in that industry and everyone, like you said, is completely different. And then people do. They go, oh my God, if she looks like that, how am I meant to look? How do I do that? And it puts these unrealistic expectations in people's heads and it just becomes this vicious cycle.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Do you want some more tea?
Yes, please.
Another one I want to bring up is obviously everyone's talking about the latest documentary, The Game Changers.
Yes.
And, you know, first of all, I want to put it out there, like I said earlier, like vegan diets can definitely be done well. There's also a lot of issues with eating meat. But this particular documentary was all shades of fucked up with the delivery of information.
Yeah.
Because it was completely
one-sided.
They cherry-picked the shit out of these studies.
One of the studies used 11 individuals. That was the cohort. So 11 people.
You could get any result you want with 11 people.
And the biggest I could go on about this, I actually had to stop it halfway because the things they were saying about comparing the nutrients of a lettuce to salmon.
Oh, my gosh. That did my head
I had
in.
To scream. Oh. Them saying,
of course you can't compare a salmon to a fucking lettuce. Like, that doesn't even make sense.
And obviously, if you char grill anything, it's not going to be good for you.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing that really got to me is when they did those bloody blood tests.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if you're eating fast food, mm-hmm. Triglycerides will be apparent in, like, I could not understand how, and I've had people, like, obviously because of the industry we're in, go, yeah. What do you think of it? I'm like, please take it with a grain of salt. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very one-sided, and I'm not going to lie, like, seeing some of those athletes, there's one thing I have to say, but I'll forget, so I'll say this first. Like, it's very impressive, mm-hmm. their ability, but it's individually based, mm. their genetics, obviously.
Mm.
And the other thing that really ticked me off is one of the Australian athletes saying she was vegan,
mm.
and saying that she meets all her mm. nutritional requirements.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually quite impossible with yep. quite a few. So one of the things I was really concerned about is obviously, you know, your B12 levels,
mm.
so many things were going through my head. But the other thing is people forget these people have money. Mm. They probably have their meals cooked from them. They have probably chefs. They have nutritionists, dietitians on call. They've got plans tailored to them. The everyday person doesn't have that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought the exact same thing. And funnily enough, that point you just pointed out about the athlete where she said that she meets all her requirements, I thought the exact same thing because, once again, I cannot keep reiterating, you can do a vegan diet well, but you will need to supplement.
Exactly.
100%. And look, if you're happy to go vegan, take a few supplements for the sake of, you know, bettering our environment and animal welfare, hats off to you. You're amazing. However, it's not due to the information of this documentary.
No, so misleading.
It's extremely misleading, and it's very telling the fact that people like you and I, and I've spoken to other practitioners, all felt frustrated when they watched it. And this is very evident of, if you're educated on the matter, you know that that information was delivered poorly. The lay population who don't have that education, they're all of a sudden vegan converts because they're watching it and be like, whoa, mind blown, holy shit. Lettuce has more antioxidants than salmon. Oh, my God. I was like, yeah, no shit. Like, you do not compare a lettuce to a fucking salmon. Like, doesn't make sense. Oh, I actually...
Even the... I'm sorry. I just remembered what one of the doctors were saying about hemiamine and the link to cardiovascular disease and just...
Yeah.
Oh, the information they were feeding.
This is the thing. It's all cherry picked. There's some truth in everything, but it's not the way it wasn't presented the way that it should.
But this is the thing. If you go eat fast food,
yep.
deep fried chicken isn't the same as poached chicken or having chicken. Like, of course, if you're going to eat fast food, that is going to, like, long term. I'm not saying once in a blue moon, go for it, but if that is what you're living off, of course you're going to be lacking nutrients. Of course you're going to increase your risk of heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not because you're eating meat as such. It's how it's prepared. Half the time, it's probably not even meat. It's just deep fried crap. Yeah. So, yeah, like you said, it was very one-sided. And I just hope people who are listening understand that, like, a lot of... with this documentary particularly, they were funded by, I think it was Haas Avocados was one of the
studies.
Was, yes, that's right.
So this is a thing as well.
Yeah.
They love to tout the fact that the meat industry has invested interests with the ties with the government, and that's why they push meat and so on. And look, there's some truth to that.
Yeah.
However, don't come out firing with those kind of claims when all the research you're quoting is often backed by some sort of conflict of interest, such as the Haas Avocado one. But also on top of that, every single producer, director, that kind of thing, well, the main players, they all had some sort of product behind the whole thing as well. So don't try to act that you're innocent as well. And this is what it all comes down to. Like, I am so all for promoting people eating more plants.
Absolutely.
And I think you and I would both share the fact that we do eat predominantly plant-based, and we would love more people to do that. However, you already know what I'm saying. I could honestly go on. But
there's a difference between promoting, saying that obviously environmentally speaking, I've got so much respect ethically speaking about lowering meat. But what people need to understand, being plant-based does not mean removing meat completely. It's just being more conscious about the amount you're eating, where you're sourcing it from. So is it grass-fed? Is it sustainable? And I think that, again, comes down to social media.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
The way people promote that as well with plant-based foods. And now with this documentary would not help. I guarantee you there would be influencers who now are going to be promoting this documentary saying, I'm all for it and look at me.
Yeah, they want to be on that trendy bandwagon. And, you know, I think the biggest take-homes for me is, one, the fact that, like you said, they were making comparisons from someone who was eating like Popeye's deep fried chicken and then all of a sudden eating like all this
broad bean
legumes and veggies and stuff. Of course you're going to get benefits. And this is the exact same reason why is it that people are touting how they reversed all this disease with veganism, but at the same time people are reversing disease with the paleo diet? And it's because they're all switching from a highly processed diet, deep fried crap and so on, to eating whole foods.
Exactly.
It's not about whether you eat meat or not.
No.
Yes, it might be about how much meat you eat, but it's about how much plant matter is in there. And it comes back to what you're talking about with the gut. Obviously, the gut is at the root of your health. And if you're eating 30 different fruits and vegetables and plant foods a week, that is what's going to make the difference.
Exactly. And like you said, like because you've got to be more conscious about what you're eating, you're going to be more careful as opposed to if you're just eating anything. So yeah, exactly right. You're getting more diversity. Obviously it's going to have, you're going to reap the benefits from it, but that's not necessarily because you're primarily vegan or paleo. It's because you've made changes to your diet.
And also, like I talk about this a lot, it's genetic variability. We often say you should eat for your heritage. I don't know about you, but I've had certain clients come to me who might have actually moved from, say, Southeast Asia, and then they've tried to eat the Western diet and all of a sudden they just blow up, they get full bloated.
Absolutely.
And I say to them, go back to eating what you grew up on.
Absolutely.
And I think, like, I mean, I grew up in Australia, so I don't really have, you know, I mean, my background's British, which is like bread and dripping and like, you know, pork pies and all that kind of stuff. So I certainly wouldn't be eating too much of that in a hurry. However, certain cultural backgrounds have such a beautiful abundance and array of things. And even, you know, I certainly don't promote dairy consumption, and I also get people to reduce their gluten intake. However, there are some cultures where properly fermented breads and properly cultured yogurts is a staple part of their diet and is really beneficial.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's the way we're meddling with our food.
And it's funny you speak about cultures, because like, obviously my background is Middle Eastern and Eastern European. Mm-hmm. So growing up, we had fermented foods and that was just the norm. Mm-hmm. But now there's such a trend. And when I speak to my mum about it, she's like, you grew up on this food. Why is it a thing?
And now it's 10 times the price.
Honestly, it's just so funny watching the trends. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, even I think that's also gone too far as well when it comes to people trying to cash in and make a dollar. As soon as someone puts, packed with probiotics or fermented or something like that, all of a sudden.
I saw chips the other day.
Oh, I've seen them. The probiotic chips. I'm like, how?
I just couldn't fathom, like, one, the stability of it, and it was, like, in millions or something. Like, the dose was ridiculous, and there was no, because obviously working for a probiotic company, I want to know the strain, I want to know the species, I want to know everything, and the therapeutic dose, what the research is, and just the products. I've seen probiotic chocolates, I've seen probiotic lozenges for the throat. The amount of claims people are making,
it must be interesting for you, the fact that, you know, you are actually a trainer for LifeSpace and knowing the technology and the science that goes into probiotic, not to mention the fact that we need to be more specific about the strain of probiotic we're using for what condition and so on.
Yeah.
So do you often now, like, look at the labels? Like, so for example, if someone's touting that they've got 5 billion colony-forming units of lactobacillus or whatever, like, are you sometimes looking at the labels and being like, oh, you know, you're not specifying things here?
The biggest thing I look at is packaging more than anything. So when there's a probiotic which is in a plastic bottle, for instance, and not in the fridge, I question the stability of the bacteria a lot of the time.
So there are a lot of shelf-stable probiotics now. So what are your thoughts on that?
So LifeSpace is shelf life. So it's a lot to do with the technology. So a lot of the probiotics in the industry now are freeze-dried.
Mm-hmm.
So basically they're kept dormant. They're sensitive to moisture as opposed to temperature fluctuations. And as long as they're in glass bottles, then the live bacteria is guaranteed, and they usually put an overage in all the bottles.
That's really interesting. So if it's in a plastic bottle and they're saying
it's more likely it's going to leach.
Ah, that's good to know. Oh my God. I think we need to do another podcast on this, because this sounds really interesting.
Well, yeah, like that's what we've obviously learned. And we've had what's it called? Our suppliers from Denmark come over and explain the whole technology side of things. And it's really fascinating, and the claims people can get away with. And it also comes down to if it's a food product or if it's under therapeutic goods regulations, the claims people can make can be completely varied. So it's much stricter, obviously, through TGA.
And it's incredible that there are a lot of, again, these like influencers that don't really have a background that are like adding probiotics to their little blends and foods and stuff. But, you know, aside from shelf stability, the strain they're using, you know, even just the fact that obviously you've got Lactobacillus rhamnosus, but is it GG or is it
RC14?
Exactly. And so there are so many different variables, and sometimes I see these new products come out in the market, but they don't actually specify
the strain number. Yeah,
exactly. And so people just think it's all the same. But when it comes to all those kind of products that they're pushing, I think they're just going on Google and being like, what's the best probiotic for this? All right, sweet, I'm going to put that in my product now. Like, they just probably read the first page of Google results and decide that's what I do. Actually, that reminds me of one of the influencers we were talking about, the one who's from Queensland.
Yeah.
She's also, like, brought out all these different ranges of retail products, and she has she actually has this new tea, and it's called Bye Bye Bloat. And I've got a friend who works in a health food shop, and she's like, oh my gosh, babe, you should create a product like that. I was like, I've already got
a laxative?
No.
That's my other thing.
Oh, yeah. Detoxing. Yeah, definitely. We'll have to talk about that.
Think about that. That's like the biggest thing.
Yeah. So this bloat tea, it's like got the most naturopathic 101 carminative herbs. It's got 3 herbs in it. You know, it's the stuff I recommend to all my clients when they're bloated. It's no-brainer stuff. But because it's got her name on it, apparently it flies out the door. And it frustrates me because, like, she doesn't even have any qualifications in herbal medicine, and not necessarily saying you always do when you prescribe a tea, but there's just, it's just one of those things. There's more layers to it. Anyway, going back to, so teas.
I don't know how I forgot about that. That's probably where it all started for me in terms of the frustration. Seeing, because I actually, through a friend, know one of the people who created one of the brands. And just seeing, it's exactly what you said. When someone has a good, I guess, person doing their media for them and their marketing, it can go a really long way. And the fact that these laxatives became so popular, and the amount of people who lost weight and then put it straight back on and then felt like crap, and then their poor bowels. That's what I just think of, like, again, gut health, but just how detrimental it can be in so many ways to their health, and how people got away with it. Like, that has to be one of the most harmful products I've seen out there, to be honest.
Absolutely. And, you know, you and I both know that long-term laxative use isn't good for your gut, and for you guys listening, it actually...
And bowel motility.
Yeah.
Makes them lazy.
Makes them lazy. and it actually causes this thing called black bowel, where if you actually look at the bowel, it starts to create this black coating. It can be reversed, but it's not good. And I remember one time, like when we were in student clinic, when we were still at uni, and we had this woman come in, and she had been drinking this laxative tea for several years.
I remember you telling me this.
And she just was so dependent on it now, because if she came off, she became constipated. Of course you're going to become constipated when your bowel's dependent on
it. Doesn't that know what to do naturally.
Yeah. And look, again, it's, you know, these poor consumers don't know this. And that is why, like, when I created my weight loss tea, it wasn't designed around laxative. It's actually designed around stabilizing blood sugar levels, helping to calm sugar cravings, and working actually on the metabolism through the science of those herbs that I know. And a lot of people would ask me, oh, does it make you have a good bowel movement? I'm like, no, that's not how this works. Some people do sometimes get a little bit of bowel movement because it works through the liver a little bit, but it's not, these other ones is purely to give people diarrhea and of
course, weight loss.
Yeah. And of course they're going to drop a bit of weight, but like you said, they put it back on. And that actually moves me to another point I wanted to bring up about another negative impact on social media on before and after photos. And what they really need to be showing is before, after, and then after, because so many people, they'll quickly get that after photo when they look at their slimmest, and then they just put it all back on.
But again, it's the angles, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
Like, it's so deceiving. I feel like social media is so distorted in terms of what you see is not reality.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I made that decision from the beginning that I was never going to do before and after photos when it comes to weight loss or body and stuff like that, because everyone's so different and individual. And again, I don't want anyone comparing their results to someone else. I want people to certainly get positively influenced by people's positive stories and how their longevity, their quality of life and their energy is affected, absolutely. But I don't want someone to compare their body shape to someone else. Toxic.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think we've definitely covered a lot on this topic today, and it's opened a big can of worms.
Yeah, absolutely.
But one of the things that I do ask everyone that comes on this show is if there was one thing that you could change in the health industry, what would you change?
This is actually quite different from anything we've spoken about. But I think the malnutrition and poor quality food in residential aged care. So I think one of the things I'm really, another passion of mine is nutrition in those who are elderly. I think there's a huge misconception that because metabolism does naturally slow down as we get older, and so does energy expenditure, does not mean that nutrition isn't critical mm-hmm. for those who are elderly. So things like protein, obviously calcium, fiber still play such an important role. And I think because of the lack of funding in the aged care sector, it makes it really difficult. And I know there's lots of people such as like Maggie Bears and Meals on Wheels, which have brought out really great initiatives, but I think we're still lacking in-house programs for those in aged care, but also allowing them to feel empowered, so them take part in this process of making their meals, which aren't bland, which are, you know, the last thing people want to be when they're in aged care is, like, it breaks my heart when I think about it, but I just, that is such a critical point in terms of, like, still development in my head. Like, brain health is another thing. Like, of course, fish.
Yeah.
Omega-3s is so important. How did I forget that? But, yeah, I feel we need to, there is a huge gap in terms of nutrition in aged care.
I 100% agree with that, and I can personally vouch for that because my mum is the CEO of an aged care facility.
Oh, wow.
And she faces extreme frustration with lack of funding, and so much so that it's just, it negatively impacts every aspect. And, you know, that she spends a lot of time on, like, applying for grants and, like, all sorts of stuff like that. And especially because they're in a rural community, they also kind of at the last of the barrel, you know, at the bottom of the barrel. And she says this all the time, they're so underfunded, everyone's stressed, it's ridiculous. And like you said as well, the nutrients that are so important for brain health, I personally had an elderly patient last year who came to me who'd been diagnosed with Alzheimer's,
mm-hmm.
and she, you know, clearly when I was talking to her, she would forget her sentences, like, as she was talking. She was such a beautiful lady, like, she was just so cute, and she would be, you know, trying to say something and then she'll forget what she's saying, and her speech was a little bit affected. Anyway, just by putting in more nutrients, like, getting everything up to scratch, because she was literally just having pretty much toast and tea, you know?
Yeah.
So, of course, the nutrients aren't there. And sure enough, like, within a couple of weeks, she almost came in skipping. Like, she walked to her appointment and she could cohesively put sentences together better. She was saying I was an angel for helping her. And her doctor was like, I think you were misdiagnosed. It's like, oh, yeah, we'll just lean on the misdiagnosis.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, and that's not unheard of in our industry, because we're just putting in the ingredients that are required to get you functioning properly.
Absolutely.
So I 100% agree with that one. I think that's so important.
It's a big one.
Hmm. Well, Jules, it's been so awesome having you come on and unpacked this juicy topic today. And I'm definitely getting you back on to talk about probiotics, I reckon. I think that'll be a really fascinating one, because so many people don't really know what they're doing when it comes to probiotics, and they need to really, get it laid out to them. So if people wanted to find you on socials or anything like that and be positively influenced, where would they find you?
So my Instagram handle is energy wellbeing underscore nutrition.
And it's NRG.
Yes. Yep. So it sounds like energy.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's your website if people wanted to book in with you and have a consult?
Yeah, so you can basically just DM through Instagram. Otherwise, I am practicing outside of a gorgeous gym called Holistic Sister in the western suburbs.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah. She went to Endeavour as well. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, so I'm practicing out of there at the moment.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it was so lovely to have you on, Jules. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
I look forward to having you back on again.
Yeah.
If you loved today's episode, give us a holler by taking a screenshot of this episode and tagging us on Instagram at Jade Walker Health. If you haven't already, make sure you hit subscribe and leave a review to show some love and help this podcast grow. To continue the thought-provoking discussion on today's episode or anything natural and healthy living, join us inside the Jade Walker Way community Facebook group by simply searching the Jade Walker Way community. For loads more healthy info, head to jadewalker.com.au. I'll see you next time. Thank you.